Anybody who has listened to Sports Byline for any period of time knows that I have taken a look at the state of college athletics and also college athletes from many different perspectives with many different people talking about it. Well, there's an article that I want you to check out. It's in The Atlantic, and it's by Pulitzer Prize-winning author Taylor Branch. It's called The Shame of College Sports, and it takes a hard look at the NCAA and its relationship with universities and student athletes. You know, my producer Taylor told me when he gave me the story, he said, this is complex and it's big. And when I read through it, I thought to myself, how in the heck did you get your hands around a subject like this to the degree that you did? How difficult was this story to write?
It's a crazy story. I went into my friends at The Atlantic and said I was about to disappear. You know, I write history books for a living, and I was about to disappear for a few years on another one, but I wanted to do something a little bit shorter term to keep my blood going. And they asked me for some ideas, and I told them mostly about politics and history. And they said, anything else? And I said, well, I've always been curious about these NCAA scandals in sports and why they don't seem to get anywhere and what they're based on. And they said, that's what you should do, because that's surprising. People wouldn't expect that from you. And I said, well, I don't know anything. And they said, well, that's even better. Investigate it and tell us what you find. And I disappeared, and this is what I came up with.
You know, it's interesting when you take a look at the subject. I'm going to ask you a question I would normally ask you at the end of the interview about all your research and what you came up with. But, I mean, at the end, I would assume after I read through your story, you got to be shaking your head and saying, this is like quicksand, and it's an octopus.
Absolutely. The image that keeps coming back to me is the Wizard of Oz. That they've all got us believing in Oz that the problem in college sports is dirty athletes getting a tattoo under the table. And they've been doing that for a long time, a lot through the captive big money sports media. But the real honest problem is that we are not having a discussion about why we're the only country in the world that houses big money sports in colleges and universities. And until we get rid of the notion that that we're doing right to forbid the athletes from having a stake and a vote, you know, they're not members of the NCAA. They can't vote. They don't have any stake in it. They don't have any say. All these regulations, without benefit of law or anything else, are done by custom and fiat on all these kids who work so hard to have sports careers while they're in school.
I thought the statement that you made in your story, and I'm going to read it right here, probably sums it up as best as any that I read in the story, or maybe as best as any that I've ever seen. You say the real scandal is not that students are getting illegally paid or recruited. It's that two of the notable principles on which the NCAA justifies its existence, amateurism and the student athlete, are cynical hoaxes, legalistic confections propagated by the universities so they can exploit the skill and fame of young athletes. The tragedy at the heart of college sports is not that some college athletes are getting paid, but that more of them are not. That's a powerful statement, Taylor.
Well, it's certainly not where I started on this article. Bill Friday, the head of the Knight Commission, a former head of North Carolina University, was one of my mentors and dear friends, and he wanted me to figure out a way to suck all the money out of it and turn universities back over to Socrates. And I couldn't do that. And I recoil from the notion of paying athletes too. But the more I look into it, the more I realize nowhere else would we even dream of telling adults that we forbid them from bargaining for some share of the very, very valuable services they provide. And one day I think we'll look back on it and be embarrassed.
Yeah, you bring up a very good point. What differentiates the kids from, say, adults doing other things, from students at universities doing research and getting paid for it, and athletes playing sports and not getting paid for it? Why is that a dichotomy?
Only because the NCAA has managed to convince us that we shouldn't be playing these athletes, that they're getting enough glory already. Sure, the universities are filled with student graduate teaching assistants get paid by the universities, bookstore cashiers. The NCAA, you know, you can make a lot of money at a school. A lot of athletes have been telling me that. You know, you can moonlight, you can open a pizza store, or, for example, you can start Facebook and make billions. but not if you're a scholarship athlete. If you're a scholarship athlete, your mother can't even get a Christmas card from a coach, all because of these arcane rules that are basically coming apart. The NCAA is under attack, both on practical grounds and money grounds, and also on principle.
When I have run a poll on this program nationwide, I've asked the question, do you think that college athletes should be paid or get some type of stipend? Overwhelmingly, the fans have voted no. And in your article, you say fans and educators alike, when they talk about paying athletes, they say it would destroy the integrity and the appeal of college sports. Now, I think, at least when it comes to the college educators, there are two reasons why they're fearful of this. One is the fact that they don't know whether the ball's stuffed or blown up, and they're just out of their element when it comes to maybe dealing with paying athletes. And the second one, in my opinion, is that they're afraid that this is going to get away from them. Am I correct in both those observations, Taylor?
Yes, I think it's been around, and it's the current system, and it's been here so long that people are afraid of change. All I'm trying to get people to do is do what I did in going back to the history of all this and where it came from, and ask the question, where do we get off saying that somebody who's providing a valuable service shouldn't get paid until I'm satisfied that it won't mess anything up? It's unbelievable. I'm not saying that a university should pay athletes. What I'm saying is that it's wrong that the NCAA as a cartel prohibits colleges from paying athletes. They're not free to do that. That's what all these things are for. And therefore, you can't have a conversation, honestly, like Dick Bedore at the University of North Carolina, the athletic director there, said, we'd have to think long and hard about whether we wanted to pay big money to play big money sports at all at Carolina if we had to pay the athletes. Well, that's a conversation that should be had because it's honest. Right now we're just putting everything on the back of all these athletes and then blaming them when somebody tries to give them a sliver of what they earn.
You also make the statement, which I agree with, big-time college sports are fully commercialized. Billions of dollars flow through them each year. The NCAA makes money and enables universities and corporations to make money from the unpaid labor of young athletes. But you also caution, Taylor, you say slavery analogies should be used carefully. College athletes are not slaves. Explain a little bit further.
Well, certainly they're not. Certainly they're not slaves. I mean, slavery was a horrible system. But even slavery was debated and codified in state laws in great detail, and it did have standing in laws in the United States. The NCAA has no standing in law. You could not write a statute in California or any other state in the country saying that we want to deprive somebody of a livelihood. It's all done by fiat and custom, and that's the thing that makes the NCAA vulnerable in principle. They're also vulnerable in practice because the football schools already walked away from the NCAA, took all the money. It gets all of it. The NCAA gets 95% of its budget from the March Madness basketball tournament, and if there's a national football playoff, they are petrified that the conferences that organize a football playoff will take over the NCAA March Madness and tell the NCAA to take a hike.
Always a problem with college athletics has been the boosters. And if you take a look at the Oklahoma State situation with T. Boone Pickens, who is a big benefactor of the Oklahoma State program, I've been around college athletics as a play-by-play announcer for a long time, and I've witnessed where there have been well-heeled alums who have given lots of money to the athletic programs who then think they're either the athletic director or they're the guy who can have the biggest input when it comes to hiring coaches and everything. That is a part of this discussion, is it not, that is very scary?
It's very scary, but it's all sub rosa because because the players are excluded from a place at the table and a vote on how all of this stuff ought to work. But you're right, it has tremendous effect on the colleges and the universities, even to some degree because the university presidents are drawn into it and the trustees. If you're a trustee at a public university and you're paying two or three coaches $3 million a year, you're going to be embarrassed if you're not paying your president at least $1 million a year. And so they get caught up in it. The administrations get caught up in the notion that this is a big money enterprise, even if it's the state university. So you got a lot of things feeding on one another.
We're talking with Taylor Branch. He is a Pulitzer Prize-winning author. He has an article in The Atlantic I hope you'll check out. It's called Shame of College Sports, taking a hard look at the NCAA and its relationship with universities and student-athletes. And we'll continue talking about this very insightful subject as we continue with more of you and Sports Byline.